Now on radio.lds.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A.
Thank you for listening to the Mormon Channel at radio.lds.org. This is the Mormon Channel's Q&A. It's your opportunity to be able to ask us some questions through email, phone calls, even just seeing us on the street. As a matter of fact, we got an email from Ashley. Ashley lives in New York, and Ashley writes, "Why do we need baptism, and why does it have to be by immersion?" That's a great question, Ashley. As a matter of fact, baptism by immersion in water by one having authority is the first saving ordinance of the gospel, and it's necessary for an individual to become a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and to be able to receive eternal salvation. All who seek eternal life must follow the example of the Savior by being baptized and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. I remember in the October conference of the year 2000, Elder Robert D. Hales gave a great talk on baptism. Let's listen to a little bit of it.
At baptism, we make a covenant with our Heavenly Father that we are willing to come into His kingdom and keep His commandments from that time forward. Even though we still live in the world, we are reminded from the Book of Mormon that our baptism is a covenant to stand as a witness of God and His kingdom at all times and in all things and in all places, that ye may be in even until death, that ye may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. When we understand our baptismal covenant and the gift of the Holy Ghost, it will change our lives and will establish our total allegiance to the kingdom of God. When temptations come our way, if we listen, the Holy Ghost will remind us that we have promised to remember our Savior and obey the commandments of God.
The Savior revealed the true method of baptism to the prophet Joseph Smith, making clear that the ordinance must be performed by one having authority and that it must be done by immersion. The person who is called of God and has authority from Jesus Christ to baptize shall go down into the water with the person who has presented himself or herself for baptism, and shall say, calling him or her by name, "Having been commissioned of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." Then shall he immerse him or her in the water, and come forth again out of the water. Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verses 73 and 74. Immersion is symbolic of the death of a person's sinful life and the rebirth into a spiritual life dedicated to the service of God and His children. It's also symbolic of death and resurrection. President James E. Faust talked about this very thing in the April 2001 General Conference.
My baptism into this church was one of the highlights of my life. I was 8 years of age. My parents taught me and my brothers the significance of this great ordinance. My mother told me that after my baptism, I would be held accountable for the things I did that were not right. I remember the day of my baptism very vividly. I was baptized in the baptismal font in the tabernacle on Temple Square. Those who were there being baptized put on white coveralls, and one by one were gently taken down the steps into the water. One of the children baptized that day was not totally immersed, and so the ordinance was repeated. This was necessary because, as the scriptures indicate, baptism symbolizes death, burial, and resurrection, and can only be done by immersion. It also follows the pattern set by the Savior, who was baptized in the River Jordan, where there was much water. As Matthew records, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway up out of the water." Even though I was only 8 years of age, the words of the baptismal prayer penetrated deeply into my soul. After repeating my name, Brother Irvin G. Derrick, who baptized me, said, "Having been commissioned of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen."
A great statement from President James E. Faust on baptism. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A, and we're answering a question from Ashley. Ashley writes in and says, "Why do we need baptism, and why does it have to be by immersion?" Those who are baptized enter into a covenant with God and take upon themselves the name of Jesus Christ, keep his commandments, and serve him to the end. Church members renew this covenant each time they partake of the sacrament. Those who keep the covenants that they've made at baptism are blessed by the Lord for their faithfulness. Some of the blessings include the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost, the remission of sins, the privilege of being spiritually reborn. If they continue faithfully, they are promised eternal life. Elder David A. Bednar gave a great address in the October 2006 General Conference.
As each of us was baptized, we entered into a solemn covenant with our Heavenly Father. A covenant is an agreement between God and His children upon the earth. And it is important to understand that God determines the conditions of all gospel covenants. You and I do not decide the nature or elements of a covenant. Rather, exercising our moral agency, we accept the terms and requirements of a covenant as our eternal Father has established them. The saving ordinance of baptism must be administered by one who has proper authority from God. The fundamental conditions of the covenant into which we entered in the waters of baptism are these. We witnessed that we were willing to take upon ourselves the name of Jesus Christ, that we would always remember him, and that we would keep his commandments. The promised blessing for honoring this covenant is that we may always have his Spirit to be with us. In other words, baptism by water leads to the authorized opportunity for the constant companionship of the third member of the Godhead.
Elder D. Todd Christofferson spoke about this very point in the April 2008 General Conference.
To be complete, however, repentance requires a covenant of obedience. This is the covenant expressed by Benjamin's people to do God's will and be obedient to his commandments. This is the covenant witnessed by baptism in water, sometimes referred to in the scriptures as the baptism of repentance or baptism unto repentance, inasmuch as it is the culminating step, the capstone of our repentance. Then, as promised, the Lord baptizes us with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Nephi phrased it this way, "For the gate by which he should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost." Having thus relied upon the merits of him who is mighty to save, we are quickened in the inner man. And if not yet fully born again, then certainly well into the path of spiritual rebirth.
Elder D. Todd Christofferson from the April 2008 General Conference. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A. Our question was from Ashley. Ashley lives in New York, and Ashley wrote, "Why do we need baptism, and does it have to be by immersion?" What a great question, Ashley. Thank you very much for that. If you'd like to reach us or ask us a question, you can always log on to our website at radio.lds.org. If you'd like to email us directly, go to radio@ldschurch.org. Send us a question. We'd be happy to answer the question. Ben from Canada writes, "What is the gift of the Holy Ghost?" Well, Ben, the Holy Ghost is the third member of the Godhead. He is a personage of spirit without a body of flesh and bones. He's often referred to as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, or the Comforter. President James E. Faust explains a little bit more about the Holy Ghost in the April 2001 General Conference.
Baptism by immersion in the water is the introductory ordinance of the gospel and must be followed by baptism of the Spirit in order to be complete. As the prophet Joseph Smith once said, "You might as well baptize a bag of sand as a man, if not done in view of the remission of sins and the getting of the Holy Ghost. Baptism by water is but a half of baptism and is good for nothing without the other half. That is, the baptism of the Holy Ghost," close quote. The full benefit of forgiveness of sins through the Savior's atonement begins with repentance and baptism and then expands upon receiving the Holy Ghost. As Nephi said, "Baptism is the gate, And then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. The baptismal gate opens the way for additional covenants and blessings through priesthood and temple blessings. The transcendent gift of the Holy Ghost, along with membership in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, is bestowed by confirmation, by the laying on of hands by those having priesthood authority.
President James E. Faust speaking at the April 2001 General Conference. This is the Mormon Channel's Q&A, and Ben writes in, "What is the gift of the Holy Ghost? All honest seekers of the truth can feel the influence of the Holy Ghost, leading them to Jesus Christ and His gospel. However, the fullness of the blessings given through the Holy Ghost are available only to those who receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and remain worthy. After a person is baptized into the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, one or more Melchizedek priesthood holders lay their hands on a person's head and in a sacred priesthood ordinance confirm him or her a member of the Church. As part of this ordinance, called confirmation, the person is given the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost is different from the influence of the Holy Ghost. Before baptism, a person can feel the influence of the Holy Ghost from time to time, and through that influence can receive a testimony of the truth. After receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, a person has the right to the constant companionship of that member of the Godhead, if he or she keeps the commandments." President James E. Faust continues from the April 2001 General Conference.
The Holy Ghost bears witness to us of the truth and impresses upon our souls the reality of God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, so surely that no earthly power or authority can separate us from that knowledge. Indeed, not having the gift of the Holy Ghost is somewhat like having a body without an immune system. We believe the Spirit of Christ comes to all men and women. This is distinct from the gift of the Holy Ghost. The prophet Joseph Smith taught, "There is a difference between the Holy Ghost and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Many outside the church have received revelation by the power of the Holy Ghost, convincing them of the truth of the gospel. Through this power, sincere investigators acquire a testimony of the Book of Mormon and the principles of the gospel before baptism. However, administrations of the Holy Ghost are limited without receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Those who possess the gift of the Holy Ghost after baptism and confirmation can receive more light and testimony. This is because the gift of the Holy Ghost is a permanent witness and higher endowment than ordinary manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It is the higher endowment because the gift of the Holy Ghost can act as a cleansing agent to purify a person and sanctify him from all sin."
The Scriptures teach us that the Holy Ghost actually has many different roles. The Holy Ghost works in perfect unity with Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, fulfilling several different roles to help us live righteously and receive the blessings of the gospel. He witnesses of the Father and of the Son, and reveals and teaches the truth of all things. We can receive a sure testimony of Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ only by the power of the Holy Ghost. His communication to our spirit carries far more certainty than any communication we can receive through our natural senses. As we strive to stay on the path that leads to eternal life, the Holy Ghost can guide us in our decisions and protect us from physical and spiritual danger. Through him, we can receive gifts of the Spirit for our benefit and for the benefit of those we love and serve. He is the comforter. As the soothing voice of a loving parent can quiet a crying child, the whisperings of the Spirit can calm our fears, hush the nagging worries of our life, and comfort us when we grieve. The Holy Ghost can fill us with hope and perfect love and teach us the peaceable things of the kingdom. Through his power, we are sanctified as we repent, receive the ordinances of baptism and confirmation, and remain true to our covenants. He is the Holy Spirit of promise. In this capacity, he confirms that the priesthood ordinances that we have received and the covenants that we've made are acceptable to God. This approval depends on our continued faithfulness.
Following baptism into the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, there comes a second ordinance, the laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost. That sweet, quiet voice of inspiration comes more as a feeling than it does as a sound. Pure intelligence can be spoken into the mind. The Holy Ghost can communicate with our spirits through the mind more than through the physical senses. This guidance comes as thoughts, as feelings, through promptings and impression. We may feel the words of spiritual communication more than hear them, and see with spiritual eyes rather than with mortal eyes. I served in the Quorum of the Twelve many years with Apostle Elder LeGrand Richard. He died at age 96. He told us that as a boy of 12, he attended a general conference in the tabernacle. There he heard President Wilford Woodruff, and President Woodruff told of an experience of being prompted by the Spirit. He was sent by the First Presidency to gather all of the saints in the East and bring them, and Canada as well, and bring them to Zion. He stopped at the home of one of his brethren in Indiana, put his carriage in the yard, and there his wife and one of his child went to bed. The rest of the family slept in the house. Shortly after he retired for the night, the Spirit whispered, warning him, "Get up and move your carriage." He got up and moved the carriage a distance from where it had stood. As he returning to the bed, the Spirit spoke to him again and said, "Go move your mules away from that oak tree." He did this and then retired once again to bed. Not more than 30 minutes later, a whirlwind caught the tree in which his mules had been tied and broke it off at the ground. It was carried 100 yards through two fences, the enormous trunk of which was 5 feet in diameter, fell exactly upon the spot where his carriage had been parked. By listening to the promptings of the Spirit, Elder Woodruff had saved his life, the life of his wife and child. The same Spirit can prompt you and protect you.
What a great blessing it is to be able to be baptized by immersion for the remission of sins and to be able to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you so much for your questions, Ashley and Ben. If you have a question for us, you can email us directly at radio@ldschurch.org. Thank you so much for listening to The Mormon Channel.
You've been listening to The Mormon Channel's Q&A on radio.lds.org.